Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. I want to thank all of you who check in on all the interviews we put out every single week. There's a new one released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So thanks to you who subscribe or just continue to find us over and over. In fact, worth mentioning, if you're not a subscriber, I do hope you take that moment. So it will make the whole process easier. Just go to wherever you get your podcast from and hit that subscribe button, and we'll give you those new episodes to you weekly. You can find us at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, YouTube, or any of the other places. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest is one of my all-time favorite songwriters, Laura Marling. She is back with a new record called Song for Our Daughter. It's sort of a surprise record. I mean, she had talked about it in a few interviews that it was done, but suddenly she's like, oh, and by the way, here it is. And it's absolutely gorgeous because that's what she does. That's what Laura Marling does. It's a gorgeous record, and I get the privilege to hear all about it. A lot of this record, as she'll tell you, really starts with challenging herself, something that she picked up after the project Lump that she did with Mike Lindsay. They put out their debut record, was it 2018? And it afforded her the opportunity to try out some new styles, which follow her into this record right here. We talk about what it means to write beyond her edges, as she says, and how some of these songs are actually a response to other things, other pieces of art, whether they be songs or novels like The End of the Affair. And there is a song on this record called The End of the Affair. I want to talk about what that process is like. And for her, the importance of arming the next generation. That's a quote from her press release. And something that she had on her mind as she went into this record. As she'll tell you, getting into her 30s now, she has the opportunity to pass along some wisdom through song. I want to hear about a song on this record called Strange Girl, which I think in her solo career anyway is probably her danciest upbeat track that she's ever done. And of course, we're going to talk about how quarantining and COVID-19 has affected her plans for the year. You know, she is a longtime traveler of the world. So we'll hear what it's been like to stay in place. Although she did make it to Australia just in the nick of time before all of this happened. Of course, she was in Australia post wildfire. So that has its own story. And if you're following her online, she's been giving guitar lessons. She calls it the Isolation Guitar Tutorial. So we'll hear about that as well. So without further ado, let's jump into this. Talking about the record Song for Our Daughter. It's Kyle Meredith with Laura Marling. So we got a surprise new record. It is a surprise new record, right? Song for Our Daughter that you've talked about being done, but suddenly as everyone have been pushing the releases back, you said, no, I got this. Was there a reason for that specifically or just how it turned out?
I mean, it's just how it's turned out. This entire decision-making process has been less than 10 days, so it's all moving very quickly. But it did feel kind of... it felt that I saw no reason to sort of hold back on something that's done, you know, considering we might not be leaving our houses for a while.
How has that been going for you? I mean, you're a longtime traveler. Every time I've ever talked to you, you know, it's usually been about what you're doing out in the world. How does quarantine suit you?
It's not all that different from my life when I'm not traveling. I'm having, you know, to employ very strict routines, and that's kind of what I'm used to.
Before all this happened, you did actually make a small tour out, right? You made it to Australia?
Yes, thank God. I got to Australia.
That seems like a million years ago already when I think about what Australia's gone through in the past few months. But what a time to be down there, too. Was the effects of what was happening down there, you know, post-wildfires, was that noticeable while you were there?
Yeah, well, that was the predominant topic of conversation at the beginning of the 2 weeks. And by the end of the 2 weeks, you know, we were trying to avoid mandatory quarantine. So it was quite a trip.
What a time to just be working in this sense right here. And you know, I'll get into the album here too in a minute. But I wanted to say I've enjoyed what you've been doing online in the meantime, because I know a lot of artists are trying to get creative with how they interact with their audience. And for you, you've chosen guitar tutorials. You've called it Isolation Guitar Tutorials. Why specifically this route as opposed to, you know, a lot of people are just doing, I guess, the usual concerts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, concerts are great. I'm awkward enough on stage with an audience in the room, let alone just by myself. So I thought I'd spare everyone that. And I think from what I can see, the videos that people send me of them practicing the songs that I've taught them, I think they like to play them for themselves, which is quite sweet. And it's nice for me. I like to show people how to play the guitar. Or my style of playing the guitar.
I mean, you're an incredible guitar player. I know I'm not the first person to say that. I mean, you have such a unique style in what you do. If, you know, I'm a fan of your music. I've always been a fan of your music. I love hearing you sing. But even if you were an instrumentalist, you know, if you were only you and the guitar, I think I would still be on board for every bit of it. There's so much melody that you put on those strings. It's incredible.
Oh, well, that's really kind of you. Thank you.
So I'm enjoying that too. I'll watch. I can't even try to do what you're doing on there. Like, I'm not even watching for the educational part of it.
Well, you never know. If you've got a guitar, you should try.
So you have this record, and it is, again, it's a wonderful record. It's called Song for Our Daughter. Going into this, you know, I've heard you talk about a few different things, or I've at least read about you talking about a few different things about, you know, how you approach this record. One of the things that seems like was a part of it was you took time to get into psychoanalysis. Did I read this right? Did you get your master's in that?
I'm currently studying for my master's, yeah.
So first off, what is psychoanalysis?
Oh my God, what a... there's a fantastic book. I can't possibly answer that question, but there's a fantastic book by a writer called Janet Malcolm called Psychoanalysis, The Impossible Profession. And the title kind of sums up how difficult that question is to answer. It's a lot of things.
but I guess I'm curious about how it goes into the songwriting and how it affects this record, because in the brief that I tried to understand, you know, exactly what it was. It's a word I've heard, you know, all my life, but never really taken the time to figure out what it is until I was, you know, researching this. But it sounds like it offers you a bit of that stream of consciousness style. Is that close?
That's true. I mean, that's more true. It's more true in Lump, which is my other band. Lump is very stream of consciousness and uses quite a lot of psychoanalytical terms, just because they're very interesting words that they choose to use in that sort of vernacular. But not so much in the Laura Marling stuff. It's something I'm able to apply in retrospect, not that I would recommend analysing my songs to anybody, but it's also an interesting sort of cultural perspective to have right now, given what the world is going through, to try and understand that from a psychoanalytic standpoint. Not that I have completed my master's, so I'm not totally able to do that yet, but it's a very interesting subject. I recommend looking into it.
So then, you know, what you have said then for this record, you did want to push forward, and I think you had said right beyond your edges, and I was wondering exactly what that means for you. Is it a sound? Is it a style? A lyrical beat? I mean, what is it, a new formula? What is it to write beyond your own edges right now?
I think, well, yeah, that's, it's, for me, I think there was a certain emphasis put on the rhythm of lyrics for this album, which is this minor detail and not something that a listener should get caught up in, certainly. But I worked with a very brilliant British director we have here called Robert Icke, who's a theatre director. And watching him pull together plays and rewrite scripts was really fascinating, the pace and the rhythm of language that I hadn't really understood before. I mean, that's very Shakespearean, obviously. So I was considering that a bit more and how that can sucker punch you. It can get you in a way that if you structure them perfectly, the words can get you right where they need to. So yeah, I've been thinking about all angles of songwriting generally.
It's a bit interesting how you talk about your lyrics and how they're perceived. I mean, sort of asking for people to stay a bit at an arm's length. I'm not coming up with the right word right now, but I wondered if you were embarrassed isn't the right word of your lyrics, because I don't imagine that you are, but I wonder where that comes from, to say, you know, listen, but don't look too closely.
Yeah, well, I think actually if psychoanalysis does come into any useful descriptor for why it's important to distinguish the author from the product, I guess, is that it's an amalgamation of all experiences and all unacknowledged experiences, which is the most interesting thing about art or creativity, is what the listener or the viewer recognizes in it is something uncanny, you know, something that they recognize but they feel is their own experience, but they couldn't put it in that exact frame. And to really explicitly explain the story behind the song to people would forbid them that experience, and I think that's a shame.
So you very much give it up once it's out? I mean, I hear a lot of artists say that, like, once I'm done with it, it's sort of yours.
Yeah, exactly. Then that's how it should be.
Although, I will say, you know, when I do read about what you talk about, how you write the songs and the little tricks that you give yourself sometimes along the way, I mean, I personally find that fascinating, especially maybe it's, I don't know if you've done this before, if this is something unique to this new record right here, but I love the idea of responding to other stories as a means for a song.
Mm.
The End of the Affair. I mean, obviously that's been a novel and a movie, and I don't know if there are other instances. But can you talk about that technique and that approach? Is that something that's new to you? Because again, that's something that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's not. It's been a very rich source for me. I'm sure it's rich source for lots of people. But I'm always underlining things in books, like lots of people, and taking certain sort of phrases or sentiments from them. But I think particularly with The End of the Affair, what I was interested in, and there's another song on the record called Alexandra, which is sort of a response to Alexandra Leaving, the Leonard Cohen song, is all of these, and it sort of appears in Vertigo, the Alfred Hitchcock film. It's all of these women who have facades, they're facades of women that are projected very passionately upon by the male leads. And what it would be like for those women underneath the facade to survive those passions? What would that feel like? And I think that's quite a common experience, something that a lot of women have experienced, surviving the passion of being projected on. So that's a particular interest of mine, a little subgenre.
But it's not exactly like, have you ever written a sequel song? They used to do that a lot, you know, back in especially I think the '50s. Most of the time it was novelty, but these aren't like I wouldn't call them sequel songs, I guess. But in as a response,
what is a sequel song? I've never heard that. That's interesting.
I'm trying to think of course, I got it off the top of my head. So Respect, Aretha Franklin. Of course, that's not a right, because that's more what you've done. That's a response song. There used to be, especially in the 50s and sometimes in the 60s, someone would write a song that would be a story, you know, a little story song, whatever it was. And then another artist who enjoyed it would go, I can write the second part of that song. It wasn't a response. It was actually more of the story written by a completely different writer. And I guess further on the theme that you were talking about there with women, the other big phrase that jumped out in the press release here is, you know, you wanted to write a record that could arm the next generation. I love that because, again, that's not something I hear completely in that exact phrase. And I should just open it up to you to explain that a little bit more before I try to put words in your mouth.
Well, I guess I think it's partly to do with my age. I started when I was 16, so I'm now 14 years into my career, as it were, sort of. And I'm 30 now, so I sort of feel like I'm at the age where I could either have had children of my own and then, you know, begin another generation, or a lot of my friends have. And I also am at an age where I now look at 16-year-olds or 18-year-olds or 21-year-olds or whatever, like ages that I have been in the world, and I'm astonished by how young they are in a brilliant way. And so slightly considering what I was doing at that age and how young I really was, and what I would have liked to know then about what was acceptable to protect yourself with. And I think that there's people not that much younger than me, you know, 3 or 4 years younger than me, who seem to be born into a middle generation, like a half step generation, that have that innately. They seem to be very ready to call bullshit on things that definitely needed bullshit calling on them, and I find that very inspiring. So I'm interested in what that means to arm the next generation.
Like, generational bickering seems to have always happened. I mean, that's not a new thing, but we are, you know, hearing a lot between Gen Z and baby boomers or millennials or whatever. I mean, that stuff happens. But I do agree, I think if I'm understanding it right, I do agree that there is something about what's happening right now, especially in a younger generation, as you said, calling bullshit, that seems to be louder than it's ever been. You know, the themes, the progress that people have been pushing for decades, because those aren't new conversations exactly. You know, it's not like, I mean, feminism obviously isn't a new conversation, but it does seem to have gotten further in the past 5 years than it ever has. Battered spouses seems to be a louder thing now than ever. And I don't know why that is. Do you have an opinion on that? It's inspiring, I agree.
Well, no, I have no idea why this time has brought it about. Maybe that's a good question. I mean, obviously there's been huge movements in the last couple of years that have completely changed the cultural perspective on all of it, but I wonder why now is the time. Don't know.
I've always kind of looked up to the generation above me to get some of those answers. So as you're saying, arming the next generation, it's probably one of the most important things I think a songwriter could do if that's the route they choose. So, you know, that's not a question, but definitely a compliment. you know, I'll wrap it up a bit on the lighter fare too. Well, first off, Strange Girl, there's so many great moments on this record, but I think that one stands out because is this possibly your danciest track that you've ever done as Laura Marling, not as like Lump or something like that?
I guess, well, yeah, apart from Lump, I guess so, yes, I'd say so. I didn't intend it to be, it just sort of came out that way.
I don't know if was that inspired by anything in particular? I've heard you talk about sort of becoming a late comer to like Paul McCartney and stuff like that. I didn't know if that was that side of rubbing off on you, that pop side.
Maybe getting soft in my old age. Yeah, I guess it has that. It's got that kind of Paul McCartney, but also Paul Simon, me and Julio kind of vibe.
I could completely go for a Laura Marling dance record at this point, if that's what it sounds like.
Oh, it made my gigs more fun.
If anybody ever plays more, that's a sad joke right there. Well, anyway, I can give you nothing but compliments. You know, Song for a Daughter is another spectacular, wonderful record that I always appreciate, you know, what you're doing. And there's going to be more, right? I mean, you've already said there's already another Lump record on the way. Is that still the case?
Yeah, there's another Lump record. I'm not sure when that's coming out at this point, but it's done. It's sounding good.
I had Mike on the show when you guys put that record out and everything, and what a wonderful little project that's been. Are you all doing it in a similar vein? I guess the musical relationship that you all, you know, the style that you all formed on that first one?
Yeah, exactly the same. He writes all the music and I go in and sing over the top of it in a very short space of time. It's really fun.
I'm looking forward to that one, whenever that might come as well. It's been a pleasure talking to you, as always. I hope we get to see each other again sooner than later, whenever that may be. But in the meantime, thank you so much for this record.
A pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. It's been great talking to you. Take care, healthy, safe, all of that stuff. And we'll see you around.
Yeah, you too. All right. Bye.
My thanks to Laura Marling. Again, the new record is called Song for Our Daughter. It is absolutely wonderful. You got to check it out. Now, Laura and I have actually talked several times over the years, but I thought I would include the very first time we ever met. It was backstage at Bonnaroo back in 2012 as she toured the album A Creature I Don't Know. So even back then, we were talking guitar stuff, working with certain tunings, getting out of dark spaces, and her fandom for Neil Young. So we'll throw that one in as a bonus. It's a quickie. It's part two with Kyle Meredith and Laura Marling.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
You're kind of post-set right now, right?
Yes, straight off, fresh.
You have such great skin complexion. It'd be easy for you to sunburn out here, I imagine.
Well, that's why I've covered up.
Yeah. No, this is great. All black. And tennis shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's usually fantastic. I've got netting as well.
Yeah, that's a great fashion statement. You're on it today.
That's great.
It has been so cool to follow you this whole time. The debut album, I Speak Because I Can, A Creature I Don't Know. I mean, you're putting these out at a breakneck speed at this point. Do you have any sense of burnout yet? Like, you know, is there a time that you're thinking, I got to take a year off?
Well, I am taking 6 months off. I'm doing album number 4 at the moment, and then I'm taking 6 months off. But then I'll be really bored. I know I will.
So wait, you'll do album 4 and then what, like just not tour? Or you got to go through the whole thing? So
no, I'm not. I'm going to have it done and then release it early next year, but take time off in the meantime.
Well, good for you. So you're in the middle of it then?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it going so far? I mean, are you feeling this one? Is it feeling good?
Yeah, it's good. I'm doing it in a very laid-back way. It's just me and my producer, Ethan, and just us in a very small studio, which is nice.
That's not bad. And I know in the past you've kind of said like you love to grab that one tuning. You find a good tuning. And is that happening again? Or are you writing a record around a certain?
Yes, I am. Yeah, in a C minor.
I wish I knew what that sounded like in my head. Yeah. So well, I should say why a C minor. What is it this time? Because most people don't work like this, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think the C minor. Are you ready for a pretentious
lay it
bomb?
Lay on me, lay it on me.
Yeah, pretentious bomb coming. I think the C minor finds me rather than the other way around.
Ah.
I don't go looking for the tunings, they come to me.
Oh, that is a good bomb right there. Well, no, in the last record you said, too, that you were you're kind of in a dark place this time around. Have you gotten out of that? Is there a bit more brightness in your life?
Yeah, there's a bit more. Well, it's a constant battle between the two, between chaos and rigidity. I'm somewhere in between.
It makes good art, though.
So
little heartbreak makes good art. I appreciate your suffering.
Thank you.
I appreciate your suffering.
Thank you so much.
One thing I've been curious about, you're a Neil Young fan.
Yes.
You love Neil Young. Have you heard the new record, Americana?
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on it?
Yes.
Do I get to hear the opinion on it? No.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. But it's very different. It's not at all what I was expecting.
It's a bit different than what he's done lately and everything. And I think the most interestingly part about all of this is that Neil's Canadian, and here he is writing about American tunes and everything. Mm. He spent enough time here, you know. Mm-hmm. Could you do something like that? I mean, could you do that with another country?
Well, I'm secretly trying to. Well, I shouldn't say that. They'll never let me back in the country. I find something about American landscape very, especially lower West Coast.
Yeah.
Very. Very enticing. Yeah. Very understandable to me.
Well, I find it really interesting when artists do that. I mean, U2 was another great example of that with the Joshua Tree. I mean, that was all about the American soul right there. So if it comes out of a thematic record for Laura Marling at some point.
Expect a concept album imminently.
Yeah. Well, it's worked for everybody else. I mean, the biggest albums of U2's career, so arguably, I guess. So no doubt it'll do the same thing for you.
Great. I'll get on it when I get back.
I'm looking forward to hearing this one. And, you know, have fun on that break.
Thanks.
I guess there'll be some vacationing in there, hopefully.
Yes.
Or just sitting in a dark room and...
Good mix of both,
All right, happy Bonnaroo.
Thank you, too.
Thanks. A little quick bit of history there with Laura Marling back in 2012, backstage at Bonnaroo at that time. My thanks again to Laura with the new album, Song for Our Daughter, and thanks to you as well for checking out this episode right here. Again, if you're not already a subscriber, I do hope you get inspired to hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It really is a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover new artists and what's happening in the music world. Again, just type in Kyle Meredith With at Apple Podcast, iTunes, at Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and we'll take care of the rest from there. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres and music news and anniversary spins and bonus interviews. Again, it's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on just about any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.